Now it's time for Half Hour to Health. Sit back, relax, and find out how you can live a better life on The Pulse.
I shall not feel good. I feel good. Like a new bit of wood. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic and on the phone today with Dr. Barry Taylor from the New England Family Health Center and also the author of Love Your Body. Now, today we are talking how to age gracefully and well. Everyone's going to want to hear this show today. Thank you for being with us again.
Hi, Dr. Steph. Nice to hear your voice.
It's great to have you back. I am excited for this show, Aging Gracefully. And, you know, the first thing I have to point out is the title of the show isn't anti-aging, because we're not against aging, but we do want to age gracefully and well.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to normally. I think aging gracefully and well would be something different than the way normal people, you know, I think people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, the background belief for most people is as you get older, you're supposed to get sicker.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, you're supposed to do less and less. Like our body is designed to be obsolete, kind of like a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's been amazing for me to read and study and look at the background when we're looking at something that's different than survival. You know, 100, 200, 300, 500, 1,000 years ago for human beings. You know, now we have an orientation where we have the ability to create a future. And existing is so different than thriving. Aging gracefully and well kind of takes into account that our choices, our ongoing choices, really make a difference. And maybe that belief of as you get older, you're supposed to get sicker, maybe that's just a belief. Maybe it's not the truth. So thank you so much for having me on. This is not about talking about magic panaceas and finding out what the fountain of youth is.
Definitely not.
But I was so happy. Reading the paper this morning, there's a USA article. I'm going to post it on my website. But in this morning, there was a USA article on blue zones. On the five areas of the world, Sardinia, Okinawa, a community in Loma Linda, California, five communities in the world where people commonly live over 100 years old.
Wow.
And the conclusion of the article was that it had a lot to do with genes. And I had already put together notes for our conversation today and, you know, looking forward, as I always do, to be speaking with you. And it was like, oh, well, I guess if you don't live in Sardinia or Okinawa, our conversation is epigenetics. I mean, our conversation is, you know, so for those people who might not be blessed with genes that are going to predictably tell you that you live to 90, 95, or 100. Well, the epigenetics are, what are the other factors that can optimize whatever genes you have? I remember reading 30, 40 years ago about the Hunzas. Do you know about the Hunza communities?
No.
They're like in the eastern Georgian part of what used to be Russia, USSR. And the Hunzas lived to 100 to 120 years old on average.
Wow.
And I remember it was first getting in to naturopathic medicine, reading about them, it just kind of blew all of my, what? How could this be? Because a lot of the Hunzas smoked cigarettes.
Really?
And they ate meat. But their key was to not eat leftovers. And one of the classic books of nutrition is Nutrition and Degeneration by Weston Price. And he studied people in Africa for decades and decades and decades in the 20s, 30s, 40s. And one of the things he talked about was the effect of sugar and the effect of white flour on aging And that a lot of the communities and the tribal indigenous people he studied, there was no cancer, there was no heart disease, until missionaries brought in white sugar and white flour. So I'm here to discuss with you what we all can do. Not easy for kids in their teens or 20s or 30s, because, you know, just having a good time. But at some moment, you know, we all as adults, whether it's in their 30s, might be a little young, but certainly people in their 40s and 50s, start to look ahead and they realize, wow, the people that I meet in the 60s, their life's totally different than people in the 50s. And people in their 70s are totally different than people who live in the 60s. So let's talk about some things that people, when they're ready to make some choices, unless you're going to move to a Sardinia, you know, what are the things that we can make choices about? The key word in science is called epigenetics. You okay with that? You know, what are some tips that will allow us to optimize aging, dare I say, dying of old age, dying with dignity, living really well into our 60s, 70s, and 80s, and minimizing the chances that, that disease takes up so much of our space and our life time in our 60s, 70s, 80s. So the first tip I have is to move our body. You know, we're oxygen machines. You know, we're machines that we operate well when we breathe deeply. You know, and most of us have learned, I know I have, to automatically breathe more shallowly. And we're talking about distinctions between just existing as a human being or thriving. And living really well takes a recognition of the power of the breath, whether that's through aerobics or swimming or yoga. Whether you're flexibility or strength training, the first tip about aging well and aging gracefully is to be aware of your breath and that we are oxygen exchange machines.
Okay.
Yeah. Second tip is to drink more water, good water, optimal water, where most people I see are dehydrated. Not sure about, you know, people that you see as a chiropractor, but when I'm looking nutritionally and I'm ticking things off about things they've got covered, things they don't, you know, and we don't usually think of ourselves as sacks of fluid held together with some paste with a computer in our head.
So what in your mind constitutes good water?
Yeah, well, not water that's fluoridated and not water that's chlorinated. So ideally, there are machines that can not just take the pesticides and the contaminants out of the water, but also will change the pH. So when I use the word optimal water, I'm talking about somebody not getting a Brita filter, sorry, that just takes out chlorine, but using a machine so that you don't keep buying water bottles. That's not good for the environment to keep buying plastic bottles. So there's something, there are machines, and the prices come down dramatically. People can email me if they want to get a sense of where they can get them. And you make water. You know, you need a plumber to hook it up to your kitchen sink or your, excuse me, bathroom sink. But you're drinking good water. It doesn't have pesticides and chemicals and fluorides. And it's just, you know, really good pH water.
Okay.
And that helps the third point, which is as you grow older in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you need to know about how to take care of your brain. And you know, any idea of don't eat fat and eat, you know, extremely calorie-restricted diet is just not good for aging. You know, we need healthy fats to make cholesterol. We need avocados and olive oil and coconut oil. We need amino acids. And as we get older, I'm not going down in this show to talk about eating meat or not eating meat, but there are a lot of people as they eat whatever diet they eat in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that accumulate plaque in their arteries. Atherosclerosis is plague-like in our culture. And those narrowing arteries and vessels affect the brain. So there are formulas like Ginkgo, and I've got some healthy brain formulas in my line that can help reduce the plaque. But one of the things for people to appreciate is if you want to be 80 going on 70 and, you know, 85 going on 65, you need to know how to fuel your brain, either taking some very high-end oils for your brain or really knowing how to reduce the plaque. That's really important for healthy aging. Otherwise, as you know, the percentage of people who have mild to moderate dementia, forget about Alzheimer's, which is a whole other story, but just people losing some cognitive ability is, quote, normal, mm-hmm. you know. But that's not true for everybody. The other thing physically is to detox the body. That toxins, chemicals, preservatives, additives, coloring agents overstress and tax the liver. And in allopathic medicine, there is respect, although there isn't respect for the whole relationship, say, between a toxic liver and eczema and asthma and allergies, the way I relate to the whole world of the body being burdened by chemicals and medications, etc. There is a place in allopathic MD medicine where they appreciate that the liver and brain is connected. And when they are dealing with 80, 85, 90, 95-year-old people with dementias, they often will look at the liver and say, ah, this person's liver doesn't have cirrhosis, it doesn't have hepatitis, but this liver is not doing functions well. You know, I've led this Love Your Body program since 1981. I've got about 15,000 people who have done it. The amount of people who've done it, at the end of 3 weeks of eating vegetables and brown rice or vegetables and fish and brown rice or, you know, just doing some kind of mild, moderate, sometimes more than moderate cleanse, but just resting your body, the percentage of people who finish that program and say, boy, my mind is so clear. I didn't think I was fuzzy before, but my mind is so sharp. I'm just feeling so creative. And that's only after 3 weeks of doing a cleanse. It's an extraordinarily high percentage. I'm saying like 95% of people who go through my 3 weeks report, wow, my mind is sharper. My sleep is better. I can just process things faster. The last thing physically, before we take a break, is and this is a huge subject, is that aging has a lot to do with hormones. For men, it's testosterone. For women, it's progesterone and estrogen. For both men and women, the pituitary stops making human growth hormone in the mid-30s. And yeah, I have supplements in my Love Your Body line that, you know, stimulates growth hormone and helps herbally stimulate testosterone. But those kinds of magic bullets I want to be careful of for the listeners to just appreciate that to be vibrant and vital and really radiant and have a reservoir of energy, you need to know about dealing with your adrenals in your 30s, 40s, and 50s and not leaning on. I'm not saying nobody should have coffee. I'm not saying everybody's got to go off coffee. I'm saying that when you need a cup or two or three in the morning to get going, then you're relying on the caffeine. And in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, your adrenals don't like that whip, that overstimulation. So a big part, whether we're talking about thyroid or adrenals or pituitary, or the way every woman's hormones and ovaries take a swan song and, okay, we've done enough, or every man's testosterone in their 40s, 50s, 60s is less than in his 20s, 30s. Those are very important issues to know what foods, what herbs, what kinds of things are going to keep my hormones better because my organs are making a whole lot less of them, one. Or I've accumulated all sorts of toxins from just being in the environment, and there's so much research about chemicals and additives interfering with hormones that it's why we have more and more dementia, more and more cancer, more and more people aging in a way that it's hard to be dignified because mm-hmm. the body is so challenged. So those are my first tips that are really important physically.
And we've got more tips for aging gracefully and well here on Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie, and we'll be right back with Dr. Barry Taylor.